Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, an evolved perspective on life with dogs.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
Welcome to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. Great to be here today. It's a nice, mild, misty day. A fine day to take your dog for a walk, kind of a break from that summer heat. And, you know, we talk about that a lot, pretty much every show. Take your dog for a walk. Great day to take your dog for a walk.
It's our catchphrase.
It really is. And, you know, I really mean it. Like, one of the things that I encounter in my work with training and behavior is, you know, dogs who have behavioral challenges of a wide variety. And a lot of the times, part of the problem, at least, is that the dogs don't have a constructive outlet for their energy. And when I say their energy, I mean both mental and physical. And that's one mistake that we make when we think, oh, I need to exercise my dog. Is we think of physical exercise, which is great, and certainly, you know, take your dog for a walk or a run or a hike or a swim or whatever is going to be great exercise physically for your dog to get that kind of energy out. But then there's also that mental energy aspect of it. You know, we think about dogs and, you know, that they have lived with us for 40,000 years and the nature of their the human dog relationship has been working together, hunting, herding, guarding, you know, and different variations of those. I mean, hunting could be the dogs hunting with a human, and then there's also some dogs who hunt on their own. Help keep rodent populations down, for example, like terriers. Livestock guarding dogs. We talked a bit about a few different breed groups last week on the show with Marcia St. John of St. John Creamery. Great interview. They sell raw goat's milk for dogs and cats and people, too, and they're local.
And I have been feeding some of that, or I guess... Is it feeding if it's a liquid?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Feeding some of that to Abby.
Serving some of it.
Serving some of it. There you go. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
And she's been loving it so far.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been giving it out quite a bit since I connected with Marcia, and we're getting that feedback a lot that the dogs are loving it. And as we know from the interview, it's so good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So the working thing, dogs and working, and then, you know, dogs, a lot of dogs these days, especially I would say in urban environments, they don't have work to do. They are hopefully loved as family pets and receive affection, and hopefully they get out on a nice long daily walk at least. But that's not enough for a lot of dogs, and it wouldn't be enough for me either, you know, as a high-drive human being who has a lot of outlets for my mental energy. So I'm really encouraging people to really keep that in mind. You know, I really think about dogs' quality of life these days, and it is hard when I meet with somebody who really has wonderful intentions, but they have, you know, the dog is home alone 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday, and sometimes even longer days, and then otherwise doesn't really get a lot of interaction or stimulation. And dogs are really social animals, just like us. We are so socially similar. It's incredible. And that's part of the reason, a huge reason, why we do so well together as two very different species. But to just really keep that in mind, like when you're, you know, home tonight looking at your dog, you know, what was your dog's day like today? What did your dog get to do that maybe challenged his or her mind? Did your dog have any fun problems to solve? You know, I've talked over the years about lots of different ways that you can do that. One of my favorite ways is doing nose work or nose games. And that's really widely available. I'm sure the way things are now that you can find them even on YouTube, you know, instructional videos on how to introduce nose work. And there's classes that you can take all over the country. I know that there's certainly plenty of them here in Seattle, certified nose work instructors. It's scent detection training for fun. And it's great. Builds dogs' confidence and is a great thing to do together and great for your relationship. And you will be shocked at how tired your dog is after a nose work class or a session of nose work. Basic obedience training, agility training, anything. Dognition.com. There's all sorts of stuff, but just kind of keep that in mind with your dog. The other thing, of course, as far as quality of life is food. And we've talked about food a lot over the years. And just last week, we were talking about raw goat's milk. Susan Thixton is the operator of truthaboutpetfood.com. She wrote a book called Buyer Beware. And I'm going to be talking with her today about this issue about food sourced in China. And she is just a wealth of information, great resource for the community. So truthaboutpetfood.com is her website. And enjoy my interview with Susan Thixton today on The Dog Show. Let's bring Susan on the line. Susan Thixton, welcome back to the show. Hi, Susan. Are you there?
I am.
Great to have you back on the show today. Always a pleasure to talk to you about one of my favorite and least favorite topics at the same time.
No, it can be that way, can it?
Yeah. Pet food. You know, I was just talking with one of our partners, locally made raw and cooked food company, The Natural Pet Pantry. And we were talking about the importance of sourcing food locally, not just making the food locally, but actually having the ingredients coming from the U.S. as well. And, you know, we were sort of talking about that and more about that topic off air with one of the owners. I was talking with Randy, and then you had these most recent articles posted on your website about one in particular about fish and how fish is processed in China. So it can be caught anywhere, but then it's shipped to China and then processed, and the sort of concerns and problems with that. And then you have another article about Black Friday for pets, which is really a cool idea as well. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting into that. Pull up your boots, right?
Yes. Yeah, we need as many people to become involved in that Black Friday for pets and to be very vocal about it beforehand.
Yeah.
I hope Walmart goes, whoa, look at all these people that are going to be at our stores and asking our manager questions,
right,
when we don't have time,
right,
to be dealing with this.
Yeah.
And we don't want to answer these questions in public.
Yeah.
Because they've got a new pet food out.
I'm sure it's of the highest quality too.
Well,
that's sarcasm.
Oh, okay. So I'm hoping that they'll go, okay, you're right. Mm-hmm. We should pull it. It's interesting what I think that we should sort of call their hand on with that is that a baby formula was pulled nationwide within 5 hours of receiving a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Nationwide. And it's been 5 years for these jerky treats.
5 years?
5 years. The FDA issued their first warning about the jerky treats imported from China. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago.
So let's take a step back and catch people up who maybe have no idea what we're talking about. As far as what, you know, there's been a lot for people who follow this topic. There's been a lot of talk about recently about jerky treats and, you know, contamination and all that. So will you catch us up on what's going on, what's in the jerky treats, what's happened to pets as a result of this, and sort of bring people up to speed in case they don't know really what we're talking about.
Well, there has been ongoing, there's been three warnings from the FDA in the last 5 years warning consumers about the risk of these chicken, it was just chicken, now it is including duck, jerky treats that are imported from China. And there are numerous brands. Mm-hmm. Part of the challenge for a pet owner is that on the front of the bag, it'll say an American company.
Right.
Or distributed by an American company.
Yep.
And in tiny print that you have to have a magnifying glass to read, mm-hmm. on the back, mm-hmm. will say made in China.
Right.
So it's a challenge, for one, for pet owners. They know to be leery of China, but, you know, unless it's clearly marked, there's the first obstacle. These treats, and the FDA, too, they are trying to help get the warnings out. Unheard of, the FDA has released their some of their reports that consumers have reported deaths or illnesses, and that in the middle of an investigation, the FDA just doesn't release any information. And they've done a data dump a couple times on these jerky treats in the last 18 months. Just reports to the FDA, there's been 360 deaths.
Mm.
Again, multiple different brands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very serious issue. There's been many, many petitions of pet owners pleading, mm-hmm. with and they're not manufacturers, they're importers,
mm-hmm.
the importers of these treats, which are, some are huge corporations, and they have pleaded, pet owners have pleaded with national retailers. I've called PetSmart and Walmart corporate offices, had long talks with them, and they just won't do it. They won't do it. But they need to. You know, 360 deaths related to the jerky treats reported to the FDA. If that were humans, those products would have been long ago, mm-hmm. something would have happened.
Mm-hmm. What's, you know, in them, Susan, that's killing? Do they know what it is that's in the treats that is killing pets, and how is it killing pets?
Well, we think it has something to do with the irradiation. These jerky, okay. treats are treated with radiation to kill bacteria, but mm-hmm. History has shown and science has shown that products that are irradiated, you can alter the chemistry. There's very minimal ingredients in the treats, but it can still alter the way these few ingredients work together, or components of these ingredients work together. And that, mm-hmm. is what the feeling is now, that it's something to do with glycerin. For one, glycerin in China has a long and dark history. You can find warnings. Glycerin is an ingredient that's used like to make capsules for drugs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can very easily find FDA warnings all over the internet about drug manufacturers, you know, be very cautious of ordering glycerin from China,
mm.
Because they have contained ingredients that have killed people.
Mm.
So, and of course, this glycerin, since the products are made in China, the glycerin is sourced from China. So right there, we don't know exactly what might be in the glycerin. And from there, we don't know what the irradiation does to that glycerin.
Mm. Do they know what of those 360 reported cases, and so there are always more, that's just the people who actually communicated to the FDA,
correct.
Or who were able to identify that this
was a result of the treats, of feeding jerky treats. What was there a common, a more common cause of death, like a kidney failure or, you
they're
know?
They're all kidney failure.
They're all kidney failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yes. It's called Falcone-like symptoms. And unlike like the melamine in the 2007 mm-hmm. recall,
yeah.
again, an ingredient from China,
right?
That formed crystals
right.
in the dog's kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
This is a blockage in the little tubules in the kidneys, but it is not crystals.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we did a little dog in Alabama. Her name was Gigi.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half old dog
mm-hmm.
died, and the owner very graciously donated Gigi's kidneys to mm-hmm. us being myself and Molly and different people that helped in on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Morissette of Poison Pets.
Mm-hmm.
And we sent the kidneys, Dr. Kathy Alanovi, a friend of mine, vet up in Indiana. We did the histopathology on the kidneys. And she wrote, the dog was 14 months old, and in the box for the age, she wrote 14 and forgot to write months. The pathology came back on this dog's kidneys, and they put 14 years. And it was basically her kidneys were that of a 14-year-old or older dog.
Wow.
Yeah. So whatever it is in there, it is doing some very serious damage
yeah.
to kidneys.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're talking with Susan Thixton, who's the founder of truthaboutpetfood.com, a wonderful resource for pet owners, both dogs and cats, to kind of stay on top of this industry. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150. The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, New York Times bestselling author of The Perfect Storm and War, Sebastian Younger tackles today's challenges in America brought about by our loss of community with his new book, Tribe, on homecoming and belonging. We'll also hear from National Geographic writer and author of The World's Wackiest Roadside Attractions. Join us Mondays at noon Pacific on Alternative Talk 1150 and find more than 400 podcasts at conversationslive.com.
This is Julie Forbes. I'm excited to tell you about Farm Dog Naturals, a company that handcrafts herbal remedies for the all-natural dog. Quality and integrity are must-haves for anything that I recommend. Certified eco-friendly and cruelty-free, their products address issues like stress and anxiety, itching, hot spots, crusty noses, as well as pet urine, stains, and odor. Farm Dog Naturals is guaranteed, and I'm so happy with the results I'm seeing. Shipping is available worldwide from their website, farmdognaturals.com, or you can ask for them at a retailer near you. Again, that's farmdognaturals.com.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
And now, back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
It out. Welcome back to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're back talking with Susan Thixton, who's the founder of truthaboutpetfood.com. You can find her at truthaboutpetfood.com, and you can also find her on Facebook as well. Great resource for pet owners to stay on top of the industry. Unfortunately, Susan, it is something that we have to do because it's changing so rapidly, and it's like companies are dropping like flies as far as their relationship with China. And whether it be in the manufacturing or the sourcing of ingredients, it seems increasingly harder and harder, despite the recurring incidences of pets getting sick and dying from because of the something that a manufacturer in China has added in or some process that they've done, or, you know, it's like over and over and over and over again this happens, and yet it continues to happen, and companies continue to sort of fall to having a working relationship with China. And most recently, you have two of your most recent posts, your two most recent posts on truthaboutpetfood.com. One is about fish in particular and the processing of fish. And another one is about Black Friday for pets, which we will talk about a little bit later in the show, that Black Friday event. So, you know, I mean, back from the 2007 recall, that was massive. And, you know, this flour essentially laced with melamine to increase its nitrogen content so that when tested, it passed as wheat gluten and not wheat flour. And they even did it to took this wheat flour laced with melamine and even passed it as rice flour in some situations as well. Pets, dogs and cats, many, many dogs and cats died as a result of this because of crystallization in the kidneys. Now we have another. Our current issue is in jerky treats, and both now chicken and duck, as you said, Susan, and it's in what we think is having to do with the irradiation process, which is essentially a preserving process or a sterilizing process, Susan?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
they basically, I mean, they expose this meat to radioactive weight. I mean, what is a radiation?
It's, you know, like a X-ray sort of, but
okay.
It is using radiation to kill bacteria.
Okay.
And this, one of the scary parts is the level's like 100 times more
right.
than what is allowed radiation in human food.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is this a
Crazy.
Process? Is this a process that is used in the human food industry? Irradiation.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, in different foods, but human. I mean, I don't like it at all.
Yeah.
I think good manufacturing practices could go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
If we could get those implemented, stricter good manufacturing processes,
mm-hmm.
instead of having to go back later, okay, it's got bacteria in it, we didn't do everything right.
Right.
So let's just zap it
right.
and destroy a lot of nutrient value in it.
Yeah.
With these jerky treats, it can be irradiated at a massively higher level than what human foods can be.
Yeah. I keep thinking about the old, like, I don't know if it was the first Superman movie when he's in his ice cave and it, like, I don't know, Eric probably knows this better, but it was like green, glowing green light.
Kryptonite.
Yeah, and he was dying. And
right.
Yeah.
That's what I think they're doing to these jerky treats.
Yeah.
They're using kryptonite on them.
Well, it, like, just, I don't know, that's just this visual that I'm getting.
Right.
Like, they're irradiating the meat and it's, you know, it's just crazy. So,
well, and then imagine the quality of this radioactive equipment in China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're you know, my mind thinks of like a Frankenstein kind of mm-hmm. a setup where it's, you know, home wiring and plugged in here and there.
Right.
And there's just no quality control.
Yeah.
When the FDA was over there, it's maddening that they did not recall one brand. One of the companies that they did an inspection on, jerky treat manufacturer in China, they falsified their documents on who they purchased their glycerin from.
Mm.
And there was no recall. Falsified documents would be foundation for a recall.
Right.
But the FDA did not. And we don't even know what company that was.
Right. I keep coming back to, well, a lot of things, but the word trust is what I keep coming back to. And that's something that is very, very hard to find these days with pet food companies. You know, companies that I have spoken with the owners in the past, you know, we've been on the air now for almost 4 years, who have all, you know, who have created these great products. And then I find out that, you know, they say made in the USA, but that they're sourcing a lot of their ingredients from China.
And they will say that there's, and many of the ingredients in pet foods that are sourced from China are vitamins and minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And they will say, well, we can't get them anyplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's bunk. It is just absolute bunk. There might not be a cheap source
right.
for bulk ingredients anyplace else. As like the fish incident, the fish caught everywhere in the world,
yeah.
right off of Alaska,
yeah.
instead of it being processed in Alaska by, you know, giving Alaskans jobs,
yeah.
it is frozen, shipped to China,
yeah.
Processed, shipped back, because they are saving 60 cents a pound. You know, I'm all for, I live on a very limited budget, and I'm all for trying to save money,
mm-hmm.
but there comes a point when you have to make this decision, is health, my family's health, my pet's health, worth saving money?
Right.
And if it was me and I owned a pet food company with the history of so many products from China being tainted,
yeah,
and the list goes on for days,
yeah,
I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I try, even a t-shirt, I try not to buy anything
yeah.
from China.
And this brings something up to for me is, you know, where there is, I feel like the public, the general public, and this is why education is so important, because I would, you know, most people out there probably don't know the details of what goes on. Most people hear about recalls, but they don't really know what it all means or why it happens, or they just sort of accept it as just sort of part of what happens with the pet food industry and what happens with the food industry as well. But that there is, you know, a lot of people are, they'll complain about price. And, you know, and I see this not as much with my client, with my clientele through dog training and behavior here in Seattle, not as much, but I do hear it, you know, it is a concern of people like, oh my gosh, you know, the food that I'm recommending is more expensive than their, you know, grocery store bought big brand food, or even their, you know, middle of the road brand food that's, you know, heavily processed like kibble or canned food or whatever. And it's like, but there's a reason why. And we just, I can't continue to accept these products. I mean, the demand has to stop. And there is, I think, consumer responsibility once people are educated to be mindful about what they do purchase, because there's a lot of power for that. Obviously, there's a huge demand for the least to bring the cost of food down. There's a huge demand for that, and that's why they're that's why companies are drawn overseas, because So I think that there's some responsibility, a lot of responsibility in the consumers, from the consumers' side of the court as well. And what that then brings me back to is the matter of education, because most people just really don't know what's going on, which is why
we're gaining on it.
Yeah,
I really do. I you can see their advertising changing. That's how we know we're making some headway,
mm-hmm.
because they have shifted their advertising. It's still misleading,
mm-hmm.
And it's not portraying, you know, what those of us who know a lot of details,
yeah.
But they are shifting their marketing towards this education that is out there.
Right.
So we're gaining ground.
Mm-hmm.
We are gaining ground. I think it's, and the internet has helped us a great deal. People like you doing what you do, putting this on the air, that is so valuable. It's a team effort.
Yeah,
it's definitely a team effort.
It is. Let's talk more about this fish issue, because this is your top article currently on your website, truthaboutpetfood.com, something very fishy. So, you know, I read the article, and it's amazing that wherever in the world, I mean, there's a further down in the article, in you're talking about a Scottish website, cod caught off Scotland is being sent on a 10,000-mile round trip to China and back again to be filleted for supermarkets, shops, and chip suppers, fish and chips. So the fish is caught in North Atlantic, deep frozen, shipped to China for processing, then being refrozen and returned. And then you actually have some videos posted beneath this article, and you can see the difference in the color of the meat between...
That was New Zealand. And you know, you have that image of New Zealand of having the healthiest, freshest, everything food.
Yeah.
That's where I was totally blown away that they did it there, too, all over the world.
Yeah.
Because China is cheap. And the startling thing was that chemical
right.
that they soak the fish in
yeah.
That makes it heavier. Thus, it's more weight for that the consumer's buying, that they're selling.
Right.
The grocery store's selling. It makes a profit for everybody.
Yeah.
I wish that one video that was produced in Israel, I wish that could have been in English, because I think they gave some really interesting information, how much liquid leaked out of each of the fish. It's horrible. And that is, most of that information that I gathered was based on human food, not pet food.
So the thing about the fish thing with is that when you're saying it's soaked in a liquid, it's... STTP, sodium tripolyphosphate.
Correct.
Treatment that fish is getting from China. And what it is for, I mean, this information is important, I think, for people to have the specifics so that they're understanding in every situation. It's like there's something like this that happens, you know, over and over and over and over again. Oh, yeah, they, you know, they soak. So in this case, they take the fish meat and then they soak it in something called STTP, sodium tripolyphosphate. And what it does is, well, it says polyphosphates are legally permitted. And this is from your article, Susan, on your website. So you guys can look this up, truthaboutpetfood.com. It's the top post. Something very fishy is the title of the article. Polyphosphates are legally permitted additives that are widely used to aid processing or to improve eating quality. And I don't really know what that means. Eating quality, is that like taste? Of many foods, or maybe tenderizing, maybe particularly meat and fish products. The main value of polyphosphates lies in improving the retention of water by the protein in fish, which makes the meat heavier, as you said. In large quantities, STPP,
it's a mouthful,
is a suspected neurotoxin, as well as a registered pesticide and known air contaminant in the state of California. Okay, neurotoxin, toxic to the nervous system, not good. It goes on, and there were, you know, I think there was something I read about where the meat was even being pounded to increase its absorption of this chemical. And so this is like the type of thing that's happening, is that it's just dishonest. So they're soaking the meat in this chemical that's toxic to make it weigh more so that they can sell it. You know, it's all making more money. How can we make more money by like altering? It's not the truth. You know, it's not like, let's alter this so that we can make more money. Let's lace this wheat flour in 2007 with melamine to increase its nitrogen so that they think it's protein, but it's really not. It's like, it's not, you can't do that. And I don't know how many times is this going to have to happen before we stop sourcing. We just cut it off. Like, how many pets are going to need to die? How many more? Thousands more of people's pets are going to die as a result of the jerky treat that they were fed? I mean, this is all preventable stuff. It's ridiculous. And yet, you know, we still, like you said, Susan, We've got huge, our largest retail stores in the country still selling it to us. That's offensive. And we should not, as consumers, tolerate this. So,
well, the hard part with pet food and human food as well is that the labels are not required to say this.
Right. People don't know.
Yeah. In Canada, from what I've read, if the fish was processed in China, it has to say product of China, but not in the U.S.
Yeah.
So, and STTP might be listed. I've heard from some different people that they've seen it listed on labels. They've gone and looked now.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be listed because it can be considered a processing aid.
Well, and who knows what STPP is? I mean,
correct.
You know, someone's going to see that and, okay, well, I don't know what that is. I assume it's safe.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not. So let's, on that note, so what can we do? One, it's the power of what we buy. So as consumers, ask your pet stores. Any pet store you go to, whether it be a neighborhood boutique store that, boasts natural products, there's still some of these products on those shelves. So ask. You know, it's important for all the retailers to hear this consumer concern. And it's important also in their inventory that they don't see these products be moving, so that it'll be easier for them to stop carrying them. If the products are just sitting on the shelves not moving, then they'll be easier to pull.
And if you see, this is difficult to do, and sometimes it's well received and sometimes it's not, but if you're in the grocery or Target or Walmart or Sam's Club and you see somebody buying those jerky treats, tell them of the FDA warnings and tell them 360 dogs have died linked to these treats in the last 18 months.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to speak up. Sometimes people get angry at you. I will warn everyone now. Mm-hmm. You know, people tend to get offended. I think they feel like you're placing judgment on them and what they would give their dog. You're just doing it out of kindness, out of the possibility that they don't know.
Right.
And many, many people do not know about the jerky treat.
And if you get an angry response initially and they buy it anyway, you never know. There's a good chance that they won't buy it again. You know, that they'll kind of sit on it.
It's definitely that looming question in their head.
Yep.
That's right.
And they might go and research it and find out, oh my gosh, that person was right. I was a jerk to that person, but that person was right.
Yeah, we've got to speak up. When you're in Walmart, I do it every time. I know the manager of my Walmart because every time I go in there, I ask to speak to the manager. You still got those treats there. Every
Hi,
time I
Susan.
Go in the grocery, I go up there and go, why don't you take them down? I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they haven't issued a recall. Mm. So
yeah, you can
take them down.
Yeah. So there's an event that you've got, which is your second article here, that you're really trying to spread the word about, this Black Friday for pets. And it's you know, what we can do as consumers to make some noise, make more noise about this. If you're thinking, well, what can I do? Just little old me, what can I do to, you know, impact this issue? So Black Friday for pets. So this is intended to happen on actual Black Friday, which is, what is that, November 23rd?
23rd, I think, the day after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. So it's the, you know, largest shopping day of the year. And so what you're inviting people to do is to show up at these stores and pick it.
Well, we're not going to say protest. We're not going to call it a protest.
Is picket protest? Yeah, I guess so. Huh?
We are going to ask the manager of Walmart on their busiest shopping day of the year, when the media is there filming all the frenzy, we are going to go in, and hopefully there's going to be pet owners everywhere doing the same thing, bothering the store manager. And we're going to ask them if Walmart cares about pets. Do you care about the safety of their pet products? And, of course, they're going to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to remind them of an incident that happened in December of 2011, not even a year ago, when a suspect baby formula within 5 hours was pulled from Walmart shelves out of precaution. There was no recall. Out of precaution, pulled from store shelves within 5 hours. Mm-hmm. And we're going to ask them, will you do the same for your pet food consumers as you do for your human food consumers?
Mm-hmm.
And in front of the cameras, ask them this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, if they can take precaution, take a precautionary action for human food consumers, for babies, as they should have, they did a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's time to do the same thing for their pet food mm-hmm. consumers.
And
so
if,
that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
To,
and if you have a sign, you know, I mean, I can't, you know.
We're going to come up with a long list of slogans to put on signs.
Okay.
We're going to provide everybody with a press release that mm-hmm. they can download the press release and mm-hmm. then send it to their local media.
Mm-hmm.
We're, as time goes mm-hmm. on here, we're going to have everything put together. Molly is even trying to get a T-shirt vendor to donate T-shirts to this cause.
Mm-hmm.
So that we can put T-shirts on and everybody look alike. And in the middle of the, we'll let all the people get in the store, do their shopping first, and then we're going to go in and ask to speak to the manager.
Yeah.
When the manager really isn't going to want to be seeing us.
Right. Yeah. And a press release is a great idea, Susan, because then, you know, it's a great way to, you know, the point is that this reaches the media, right? So it's not just
correct.
It's not just the impact of the action directly in those conversations with the managers, but it's also the media attention that generates to further the cause.
Walmart's response, do you care the same way you do about the safety of human products? Do you care an equal amount of the safety of the pet products sold in Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
We want their response to that question on film.
Yeah.
We want it in front of the media.
Well,
that's why we chose Black Friday, because the media is already there.
Well,
we're still going to send them a press release, but the media is already going to be there.
Yeah, and even better if they're looking for it. We are going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more with Susan Thixton, founder of truthaboutpetfood.com. You're listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
There must be something fishy going on. You said you were going on a fishing trip with some old friend. You said that you'd be home tonight somewhere around 10.
Eric, people ask me to help them with all sorts of doggy challenges.
I can only imagine.
Oh yeah, dogs jumping on guests, new puppy questions, behavioral challenges like fear and aggression, even dog food sensitivities, you name it, and I've probably worked with it.
But can you help people even if they don't live in Seattle?
Absolutely. I've had great success with phone consultations and have even Skyped with people and their dogs from all over the country. Every dog should be approached as a unique individual. I've talked about this over and over again on the show. That's one of the parts of working with dog training and behavior that I love the most. Every client is different. If you're listening and you need help with your dog, just get in touch. I'd love to get you pointed in the right direction and answer all of your questions. Email me, host@dogradioshow.com. That's me, Julie Forbes, host@dogradioshow.com. I look forward to connecting.
Wait, dogs can use Skype? We're really living in the future.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Dr. Nels Rasmussen at NelsHealingMinistry.com, we cover the world of animals. This Sunday, September 4th, it's Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll have a great lineup of interviews with several local rescues, lots of good news about animals, some special features, and an update from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. Join us for Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options,
to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their two stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.
Make us part of your daily routine. Alternative Talk, 1150.
And now, back to the Dog Show with Julie Forbes.
You can bet there's something fishy going on. Yes, you can bet there's something fishy going on.
Sing it, Dolly. That's some old Dolly Parton. Well done, Eric. That was a treat. Dolly knows.
Something fishy is definitely going on with pet food, right?
We're back today with Susan Thixton, who's the founder of truthaboutpetfood.com. If you have missed any part of this interview or any of our past over 190 shows now, you can find them all archived on our website, dogradioshow.com, and you can also find us on iTunes as a free audio podcast. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. And we're also on Facebook. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Become a fan of The Dog Show with Julie Forbes and be part of the conversation in between our live shows every Wednesday at 2. Susan is also on Facebook, Truth About Pet Food. Highly recommend tapping into her resource to stay abreast of all of the pet food industry news so that you can ultimately protect your pet from this type of thing, because pets do die as a result of this. There's a reason why a lot of people in the industry and a lot of pet owners are very fired up about this, and it's because it kills pets. So there's a good reason why I talk about pet food so much. It's life or death. And I can't imagine having one of my dogs die as a result of a treat that I fed him or her. I don't even know what I would do.
That people feel is, I mean, you can hear it in their voices when you talk to them. And I was there. That's how I got started on this path, was the dog food killed one of mine. And you do feel responsible. It's just very heartbreaking, very heartbreaking. And it's something that changes you forever.
Mm-hmm. As it has you. And as a result of that, we have, you know, your great work that you do. Susan also has a book out that's a wonderful book if you're looking to kind of dig more into this and just get some more information about the industry. It's called Buyer Beware. And you can order that on Amazon. Is that right, Susan?
Yes.
Yeah. So Susan Thixton, T-H-I-X-T-O-N, Buyer Beware, great book about the pet food industry. And, you know, we've mentioned a few times in this show the 2007 pet food recall that happened, the big one. And there's a book called Pet Food Politics that I read a few years back, and it was very interesting. Almost like gripping drama, because it takes you sort of step by step, hour by hour, the events that took place and how the companies responded, how individuals within companies responded. So you really get a behind the scenes of what happened with that. I thought it was very interesting and definitely empowered me with some more information about how things go down. So that was called Pet Food Politics. So we were talking... Well, we've been talking in this show mostly about the processing or the sourcing that happens in China and the problems associated with that. And it's, you know, various now different examples of different things that happen over there for the treatment of the food, for always dishonest reasons. Whether it be to pass something as a protein when it's not, or to make meat heavier so that they can sell it for more so they can make more money, or whether it be some sort of proven harmful process like irradiation we talked about to kill bacteria on food, to sterilize it essentially. all of these things are happening. One makes you question the quality of the ingredients in the first place. Why does it need to be, you know, zapped like this, you know, so sterilized? And then the other thing is you just can't trust anything that happens over there with regards to food and the processing. And so even when, you know, owners of companies are certain companies that do send their fish, for example, to China for processing, and the owners say, but nothing, you know, I'm speaking as the owner, you can quote me on this in writing, that there's nothing added, there are no ingredients added that are Chinese. How do they even know really what's happening? And that's the problem, is that you don't know, and obviously through history we can't trust this. And I just wait for the time when it just stops. We've got to just cut off from this. It's ridiculous because it's killing pets.
For pet owners, it is trust, just like what you were saying. And I always recommend people to ask a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how a company, a pet food company or pet treat company, responds is very telling. I will ask, what is the country of origin of all ingredients? And 90% of the time, they will email me back and say, oh, everything is U.S. except for lamb from New Zealand. And then you write back and go, well, what about vitamins and minerals?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to source them from other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And you asked originally all ingredients.
Right.
So right there, if they are already foot just right in the door, if they're skirting questions, that brings up a caution flag to me.
Yeah.
Because it all is based on transparency, and transparency then can provide consumer confidence.
Yeah.
So keep asking the questions. That's very, very important to do.
Yeah, and integrity is such an important thing. I mean, it just is like, who are you that you think that this is, like, how do you sleep at night?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, these U.S. companies who just knowingly, you know, are like, oh, yeah, well, you know, and they sort of don't have to, they don't talk about it, or they don't have to, but they know. I mean, I just don't know.
I could tell half of what I know.
Yeah.
I wish I could. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how many times they have lied to me. The FDA even has lied to me to my face.
Mm.
But these pet food companies, time and time again, and then I catch them in the lie and ask them about it. And, oh, no, I'm sorry. I was confused.
Right.
You know, it's sad.
Yeah.
Very sad.
Yeah. Susan Thixton, truthaboutpetfood.com is her website, and you can subscribe to her newsletter. I highly recommend that you tap into this resource. Find her on Facebook as well, and while you're on Facebook, be sure to find The Dog Show with Julie Forbes. If you've missed any part of this interview, you can listen on our website. All of our shows are archived online, dogradioshow.com, and also a free download from iTunes. Just search for The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, and you can download us for free from iTunes as well. We've been talking today about the top two posts currently on truthaboutpetfood.com. Be sure to read more about them both, and especially the Black Friday for Pets, and participate in that. Get a group together in your community and have a presence, you know, at Walmart on Black Friday.
We can do it. We can get Walmart to pull them off the store shelves. And no, we can't.
Yep.
If we get enough people together, so we're going to need everybody's help. Talk about it on Facebook. Talk about it on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Make some noise.
Yeah.
Make some noise. Yeah. And we're talking about the jerky treats, of course, if you're just tuning in, that are 360 pets have died as a result of multiple different brands of jerky treats. And all these large companies are still carrying them, and we want them pulled. Susan, thank you for your time today. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you for your work. And I look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks for listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes on Alternative Talk 1150.
You've been listening to The Dog Show with Julie Forbes, Wednesday afternoons at 2 on Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Never miss another episode. Listen to our podcast online at dogradioshow.com or download them for free on iTunes or SoundCloud.
The Natural Pet Pantry is Seattle's original source for wholesome dog and cat meals, offering 8 different protein options to accommodate your pet's dietary needs. Made locally using all U.S.-sourced ingredients, their freshly ground stews, raw or cooked, can be purchased from their 2 stores in Burien and Kirkland, most independent pet supply stores, or delivered right to your door. Go to naturalpetpantry.com for more information. I'm Julie Forbes, and my first choice for my pet's food is the Natural Pet Pantry. It's the educated choice.